Today's show in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara of the Metzia, Daf Zayin. We're going to begin three lines from the top, Zayin Omer Aleph. We are learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Rose Drosman, Rachel Bas Moshe Halevi. All the shows we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and security of the Tzva Hakanal Yisrael. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim, successful in all of their endeavors, and Be'ezus Hashem, there should be Shalom on Kla Yisrael. Okay, yesterday in the shiur we learned a mishnah that said hasveikos nichnasin ladir lihis aser. We had said that if it's something is a sofek bechor, you are allowed to go and bring it into the corral and go and count it towards one of the 10 animals towards meiser behema. And we had a whole discussion yesterday. How could that possibly be? And today we'll put the final touches on that with a statement that Amale Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina, that Rav Acha Midifti said to Ravina. He said, my sveikos, what are these sveikos that we're talking about here that are allowed to be brought into the corral to be counted off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and the 10th one is Meiser Behema. What are those sveikos that we're referring to? If you're telling me Ilema Sofek Bechoros, if you're telling me it's a question of whether this was a firstborn to a kosher animal, a goat, a cow, or a sheep, so then how could that possibly be that it can be counted towards Maaseh Behema? Yet Kodesh Omer Rachmana, the pasuk says that it will become Kodesh when it becomes going through the corral, and the 10th one is going to become Kodesh as Maaseh Behema, Velo Shekvar Kodosh, and not something that was Kodosh Mirechem, that was already from the inside, when it was the firstborn inside its mother cow, its mother goat, its mother sheep, was already having kedusha min harechem, and as soon as this animal is born, it has kedusha of bechor. So that can't be yia kodesh, that already is kvar kadosh. So therefore, as we have explained, elosofik pidyon petach amor, we're dealing here with the non-kosher donkey. It's the only non-kosher animal that you have to do a pidyon for, pidyon petach chamor biset, that you have to go and redeem this donkey with a seh. Now this seh has no real intrinsic kedusha to it once it's used to redeem the donkey. And therefore, uchid de Rav Nachman, and this goes in accord with what Rav Nachman said. What did Rav Nachman say? The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Rav Nachman said the name of Rabba Baravua, Yisrael sheyesh lo asara sofek pitre chamor besoch bei. So let's say a person has 10 of these animals that wasn't clear that this donkey was a b'chor or not a b'chor. As Rashi says, Tle shehufrash al sofek peter chamor. Shafilu hu peter chamor vadai. Ein betle zeh shel pidyon mishum kedusha. Even if you're dealing here with a vadai b'chor of a chamor, that you're now being pulled on this set. This said, this tleh has absolutely no kedusha to it. It is being used to redeem the peter chamor. However, it itself doesn't have kedusha to it. And therefore, when you have 10 of these that are a sofek, whether they are a real peter chamor or not, and you redeem them with 10 different seh, so then all of these mafrish alei masorah saying, you go and are mafrish 10 seh for these 10 sofek peter chamor, and then uma asron, and you have them go through the ma'aseh behema process, the hein shalom. And then the bottom line is that all 10 of them are his, including the 10th one, which will be ma'aseh behema. Now, Tosfos has an interesting question over here. Ma'afish Aleim Asar is saying, he says, Tema, the parakam to Bechoros, in the first parak in Bechoros, it says, Aminon deseh echad, poter kama pitri chamor. You could use the same set to be redeeming more than one petri chamor. So, umat sarech asar is saying, why do we have to specifically state 10 over here? Why wouldn't it have been good with even one? Vesu, my komashmalon masnisen he. What's the chiddush over here? It's a beferish mishnah. Masnisenhi hasveikos nichnosin ledir lisaser. Furthermore, v'su kivan de amar ma'asron matzorich lashvienu dehein shalom. Why is it telling us that they belong to him? Pshita. Why would we think that they don't? Kivan the ma'asron dehein shalom. Since when he's doing this, they all belong to him because the ilu hayo shel kohen lo hayo ma'asron. He wouldn't be allowed to do it, as we spoke out in yesterday's year. The havelu kilo kuach. And if you in fact did belong to the kohen, then it's not included in the din of ma'aser because it's not. If somebody gave you something, you purchased it from somebody, or if he gave it to you as a present, put it from Ma'aseh Behema. If the Chiddush is the Afal Gav the Ma'asron Adayin Him Shalom, so then Pshita the Ma'aseh Behema Shel Balam Hu. Of course, it belongs to him. So Tosfos is puzzled by the fact that we had to use over here this statement of Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina to prove this. Okay. Vaiter, the Gemara says, "My havi alo de masusa." In yesterday's shiur, we never ended off. What was the halacha lemaisa in terms of this masusa, this bathhouse that was held in ownership by two different people. They each claimed, Reuven claimed the bathhouse was his, Shimon claimed the bathhouse was his, and we said if Reuven went, the Maisa Shahaya was that Reuven went and he was Makdish it. So the Rabbanim stayed away from this bathhouse because they were afraid of Me'ila, that they were going to then be using something that in fact belonged to Hekdish or was treated like a carbon, and they weren't allowed to get Hanoah from it. So what's the halacha? Is it considered Hekdish or not? So Toshma, we'll bring a riot. The Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ravin, Rabbi Chiya bar Ravin said, "Have uvda de Rechista." This similar case came in front of Rav Chisda, and he wasn't sure how to paskin it. Rav Chisda be Rav Huna, and Rav Chisda therefore brought it to Rav Huna to paskin it. Uposhta mihod amar Rav Nachman, and he paskin this case the way that Rav Nachman said. Kol mamam she'ein yachol lotziyam bidayanim. If a property is not able to be brought about to go to somebody via a beis din, so then he isn't considered to be the owner of that property to be makdishit. Higdisho, if he is makdishit, ain't no kadosh. If you can't go and get this property to be yours via a based in process, so then it's not really yours. And if you're makdishit, that hekdish doesn't take effect. Oh, so that's what Rav Nachman said, and that's how Rav Huna paskin this case of the Masusa. Mor says, so the implication of Rav Huna's statement, however, is that if you were able to go and be able to win this case in a based in, so then Hikdisho, if you were Makdisha, then in retrospect, it would be a good Hekdish. Kadosh? But wait a second. Afo Gadolo Afke, even though it's not in your possession, is that really the way we paskin? After all, we had this previously. Vamar of Yochanan, Gozal, if somebody stole something, Velonis Yashu Balam, but the Balam who he stole from had never given up hope of getting it back. So now, this Ganav wants to be Makdish this item, so he doesn't have the ability to do so. Shneim en yichon makdisho, but the original owner no longer can be makdish it as well, even though he's the original owner, because zeh lefish enu shelo, because the ganav can't do it because it's not his. You can't be makdish your next door neighbor's cow. You can't go be makdish your next door neighbor's car. You have to be the owner of it. But even if you're the owner of it, you also have to have it in your possession. So the original nignav, the original owner over here, also, he can't go be makdishit, because he doesn't have it physically in his possession. So Rav Yochanan clearly said that you need both. You need to have ownership of it, but it's not enough to have ownership of it. You have to have it in your possession to be makdishit. So how could Rav Huna say, by implication, that if you were able to go and win this item in a beis din, so then you could be makdishit, but it's not in your possession. So how does that jibe with Rav Yochanan's statement? So Gemara says, no, not a problem. Who says we're dealing over here with metaltalin of a bathhouse? Mi savris b'masusa metaltalin eskinin. We're not talking here about the movable properties of a bathhouse. We're not talking about the towels. We're not talking about the other things that are movable within the bathhouse. What we're dealing is here b'masusa mikarkoy eskinin. We're dealing with the actual bathhouse itself, which is karka. And therefore, the chiyochol lotziyah b'dayanim, if you're able to go and get this in a beis din, you would win the case in a beis din. So then, it is always considered birshusei kaima. Because it's karka, it's never stolen. Karka ain't an exelis. So therefore, if you would win the case in a beis din on this karka, on this masusa, on this bathhouse, so then you are considered as if it's in your possession. And that's why Rav Huna paskin, he holds like Rav Yochanan, in order to be makdish something, you have to own it and have it in your possession. And this masusa, you are considered the owner if you would be able to extract it in a beis din. And you don't physically have it in your possession right now. Karka ain't an exelis. This masusa ain't an exelis. And therefore, it is viewed halakhically, if you would win it in a beis din, so then you would be considered the owner of it right now. Even though it's not physically in your possession, it is halakhically considered in your possession. Okay. Bar continues, says, Tani Rav Tachlifa bar Marova Kameid Rabbi Yavohu. Rav Tachlifa, who was from Eretz Yisrael, bar Marova doesn't mean Yisrael, his name is Marova, it means he's from Eretz Yisrael, said in front of Rabbi Yavohu, and he said, Shnayim Aduki Metalis. If you have two people grabbing onto a talis, they're holding onto a talis. This talis, again, is a garment. That doesn't literally mean what we call a talis. But they're holding onto a garment. Zen Otel Admokum Shiodum Agas. Zen Otel Admokum Shiodum Agas. So each of them, halachically, is considered the owner of that which they're holding on to. So Reuven is grabbing onto this piece of the garment, and Shimon is grabbing onto this piece of the garment. So what Rav Tachlifa said was that this Reuven owns the piece of the garment he's definitely grabbing onto. Shimon owns the piece of the garment that he's definitely grabbing onto it. Vashar, and everything that they're not physically holding on, neither one of them is physically holding onto, Cholkim Bishova, that they split evenly. And when he said this in front of Rabbi Yavohu, pointed towards Shemayim, Machvilei Rabbi Avo. Rashi says that this means he pointed towards Shemayim, Mareh Be'etzbiosov, Klape Ma'ala, to imply Ubishvua. And they only are chokin in the rest of the garment when they make a shvua. Each one says it belongs to me, and therefore we are chokin as we learned in our Mishnah. Morris says, our Mishnah didn't exactly say what Rav Tachlifa said. Elamas Nisan, our Mishnah said, Diktoni, Dipalge Bahadade. Our Mishnah said that they split it. It didn't say, Loktoni, Zenotel Ad Mokum Shodomagaz, Zenotel Ad Mokum Shodomagaz. So, Hechemishkachasla. So, what's different between our Mishnah and the statement of Rav Tachlifa? Why didn't our Mishnah say this? So, the Gemara says, I'm a Rapapa. No, there's no conflict over here between Rav Tachlifa's statement and our Mishnah, because our Mishnah was talking about the Tfise Bikarkashta. He's grabbing onto it in our Mishnah. Each of them, the Shnayim Ochzi Batalis, they're only grabbing onto the Karkashta. The Karkashta, Rashi says, is begarden, these threads, Shebishnei Roshan, that are at the two ends of the garment. And he has a foreign language term for them, which means the threads. So, therefore, they're not really holding on to something substantive, but they are considered shtayim ochas and metalis. So, therefore, the Mishnah doesn't say, well, this person gets these threads, this person gets these threads, and the rest are yachloku, because the threads aren't considered substantive. They are considered shnayim ochasim, so they are considered each muhsak in the talis, but therefore, our Mishnah just said that yachloku the entire talis. Okay, so no conflict between Rav Tachlifa's statement and our Mishnah. Amar Mishash says, Shmamina, we can learn from the following, Hai Sudra. If a person has a Sudar, Sudar is a kerchief that often was used for a Kinyan Chalipin, so we see this all the time at weddings when the Rav is making, the Masada Kedushin is making a Kinyan between the Chassan and the Kalas sides of the family, so they'll use a Kinyan Sudar. They'll pick up a pen. Today we use a pen or an iPhone or something else to make this Kinyan Sudar, but they used to have kerchiefs. So this was a Sudar, was for Kinyan Chalipin. So a Kinyan Sudar, as it's called. So Kivan, the Tofis Bey Shalosh al Shalosh, as soon as the person holds on to it, even though the original owner of this Sudar is still having in possession part of it, he's holding on to part of it, but as long as the person who's making the Kinyan picks up a piece of the garment of this Sudar that is at least three etzbos by three etzbos, shalosh is a feminine word, and it implies therefore either etzbos or amos, but we're not talking here about amos, we're talking about the minimum size of something to be considered significant with a cloth, with a garment, and that's three etzbos by three etzbos, which can be used for a patch, and therefore it has the status, as Rashi points out, of being a kli, and therefore this is considered significant. So as long as he grabs onto a piece of this sudar that is at least three etzbos by three etzbos, roughly a little bit less than 3 inches by 3 inches, so then karinan bey v'nosan l'riyehu, this fulfills the pasuk to make a kinyan that shalaf ish nalo v'nosan l'riyehu, that we learn from Rus, and Boaz made the Kinyan, so it was the Nosan Lireyehu, you have to give over something to your friend, and that would be this Kinyan Sudar, a Kinyan Chalipin. I grab this and take this, and you have in exchange for it the item that I'm transferring over to you. So as soon as he's holding on to it, even though the original owner hasn't left it, so he's holding on to the other part of it, the Chiman de Pasik Domi. We view this as if it's been cut off. As Rashi says, Makne Shalosh al Shalosh Karina Bey. This is considered a Kinyan on these three, Vishalof Ish Nalo Vinosel Reyehu, and it is considered Deman de Pasik Domi, Vikanya Makne, Vamecher Niknebo. And this is considered that he purchased it, he owns it, and now through this Kinyan Suda, this Kinyan Chalosh, and he exchanges his item for this acquiring this 3x3 piece of the garment. Because the kli, but you need a kli, as I pointed out. In any event, we consider it as if it's cut off over here, v'kani, and the kinyan chalipin is in fact done. It's effectuated. So therefore, we learn from this, Rav Misharish says, that you don't have to have the original person leave go of the garment in order to make the Kinyan Sudar effective for the person who's picking it up. As long as that person is holding on to a 3x3 etzba minimum piece of that garment, so then the Kinyan Sudar is considered effective. Now, the Gemara says, Umayish nomi the Ruchista, how is this different than what Ruchista said? Ruchista said, the Omer Ruchista, get biyada umeshicha biyado. When a man gives a woman a get, a man has to divorce his wife, and he gives her a get, so he has to, the nosan, he has to go and give it into her hands, biyada. Now, he gives the get into her hands, the get biyada, umeshicha biyada, and he has the meshicha, a string attached to the get, in his hand. So, in other words, he could theoretically pull the get away from his wife. So he gives it into her hands, but it's still attached with a string, and he could theoretically pull it away. So Rav Chisda said, "Im yochol linasko ulahavia etzlo." If in fact the string is attached to this get, and if he pulled on this string, he would remove the get from her hand and bring it back into his possession. So then, ain't a megareshes. This doesn't fulfill the requirement that he has to go and give her a get, because it's not a full giving it. He can still retract it. So ain't a megareshes. But the im lav, if the string is not strong enough to pull it out of her hands, it would break. In other words, it is a full giving it over. So then she is considered megareshes. Now, the woman has the get in her hands. So why is that not considered that she owns it? Like, just like we said from Misharsha, when the person grabs onto the suitor to make the Kenyan suitor, and he just grabs onto it, even though the other person's holding onto it and could theoretically pull it away. So in the Kenyan suitor, it's considered that he does acquire the 3x3 area. Why in the get, when the woman has it in her hand, is it not considered that she owns the get? What's the difference between the case of the get and the case of the Kenyan suitor? So the Gemara says, no, there's a basic difference over here. In regards to a get, hasam krisus ba'inan. The Torah says that you have to go and literally be kores, have a separation totally between the husband and the wife. And if there's any way that you can get it back, so then the leka, then it's not considered krisus. It's not considered that you have totally separated from the woman. However, in regards to the Kenyan Suder, you just need a giving over. Hocha nisina be'ina. You just have to have an exchange. I'm taking this piece of the Suder, and you're getting in exchange the item that I'm being machna to you. So therefore, it doesn't have to be a total severing. It just has to be a nisina, and this qualifies as a nisina. And therefore, the ha'ika, since there is a nisina, so therefore, by a Kenyan Suder, it's acceptable. By a get, it's not acceptable. Tosos and Libra Masul and Yochel and Masul has a whole interesting discussion, a sidebar, in terms of, does her hand have to be open or closed around the get? So Tosos says, Mira, dim haiso yoda pichsucha bishas shenosan get liyoda. If her hand was open, she just had an open hand, and her husband placed the get in that open hand, the nishara hamashicha biyodo, and he still has the string attached to the get, and he's holding on to the string in his hand. And then, if she were to close her hand around the get, v'kovtz yodah b'chozek, and now she grabs onto this get with strength, she im moshach ha-meshicha lo yuchol laviyo etzlo, and now if he tried to pull it with the string, no, the string is not as strong as her hand grip on the get. So in this situation, Tosa says, nevertheless, even though the string can pull the get back, she ainot migureshes. She would not be considered divorced in this situation, because shahare kishinosan biyodah, Kodim Shekov Tsiyoda, when the husband placed the get into her hand before she closed her hand on it, since there's a string on it, he could pull it back. That's low. He could have pulled it back. And therefore, when she closes her hands, Vahakfitsa, lo also hu Elohi. So therefore, when she closes her hands, it's as if she picked up the get from the ground. The because if the husband says to his wife, your get's there on the floor, pick it up. So if she picks it up, that's not him giving her a get. So therefore, she's not considered divorced in that situation. The law, Karina Bey, the Nasan Biyada, that doesn't fulfill him giving it over into her hands. If she takes the get on her own, he doesn't fulfill giving it over to her. And therefore, if there's a string attached to the get and her hand is open, and then she closes her hand around it, that's not considered as if he gave the get to her. It's considered if she took the get and she wouldn't be divorced. And Tosus concludes, says, So if she, in fact, is able to keep the get, then she is considered migureshes. It's talking about Kigon Shoyesu Yodo Kefutza. Her hand was, in fact, closed already, and he put the get v'hu tochav biyada kol kach b'chozek, and he then put the get into her closed hand, and in that situation it's entirely in her hand, but now if he pulled on the string it wouldn't come back to him, so then she is considered megureshes. That's the first pshat in Tosus. Tosus then brings down the Rebbeinu Tam, and he says the din is talking about also that im haget Kaved kol kach, it's a heavy get. Shim rotze limshol haget, a love, tinoket hamashicha, And since it's so heavy, the string isn't strong enough to pull the get from her. And if you pull on the string, it would break and the get would remain in her hand. That's the case, Rabbein Latam says, where she is mugureshes. And therefore, when my Rabbi Yod Pesucha, it could even be with her hand being open, v'lo kofza, and not closed around it, v'lo asasam shum davar, because she didn't do anything. The get was heavy enough that when it put into her hand, even though there's a string on it, it wouldn't be able to be pulled back, so therefore she's mugureshes. Okay, interesting sidebar. Mark continues and says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Im haisa talis mus heves chokin. If you're dealing over here with a talis, the garment that has a piece of gold in it, it has gold threads in it, so then you divide that up as well. So the Gemara says, obviously, pshita, why would we think that you wouldn't? So it says, lo, it's not so pshita, it's not so obvious, because tzricha, we need to teach us the case, dekoi dava de mitzeh, because this gold is directly in the middle of the garment. So therefore, it comes to teach us that you split it. So we say, how does that change it around? It's obvious. If we say you split the garment, so you split the gold that's in the garment as well. You need it for the following. It's not directly in the middle. It's closer to one side. So Reuven and Shimon are grabbing onto this garment, and the gold strip, you know, imagine like on a talus where you have the atara. So there's a piece of gold on this garment, and it's not directly in the middle that you would say, pshita, that it should be divided up. It's closer to Reuven than it is to Shimon. Reuven hasn't grabbed it, but it's closer to Reuven than it is to Shimon. So I might have thought, mao detema, the amale, that Reuven, who says it's closer to him, says, plo kochi, yeah, divide it right down the middle. This is on my side, so I'll get the entire strip of gold threads, and you don't. You don't get any of it. So divide it that way. Cut it right down the middle in between us in the horizontal direction. And therefore, I'll take everything that's on my half, and you take everything on your half. Imagine it's like a football field. And this guy says, I'll take everything from the 50-yard line to my goal, and you take everything from the 50-yard line to your end zone. So that's the way you wanted to divide it up. So the chiddush is, no. And the gold threads are on the 40-yard line, so the Reuven says, this is on my side. So the Gemara says, no, Kamash Malon, the Amale, that Shimon can say, no, my chaz is the Pal Gisachi. Why are we splitting it down the 50-yard line? Let's split it from my goal post to your goal post. You take everything on the right side of the field, and I'll take everything on the left side of the field. Oh, now that strip of gold that's on the 40-yard line will belong half to me and half to you. If we split it down the middle, horizontally, down the 50-yard line, then you would get the entire gold. That's not the way we split it. We split it from goal post to goal post. You take the right side, I'll take the left side, and therefore, each of them will get half of the gold. Plog hachi. So that's the chiddush. But Rav is telling us, im haisa talis mus heves chokin, that you do split it this way, this is the way you split it, and not the way that Reuven would prefer to split it. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa, shnayim adukim bishtar. Two people are holding on to a shtar. You have the Bal Chovah, the shtar, and the one who owes the money. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had lent Shimon money. The shtar says that Reuven lent Shimon $100. Shimon owes him $100. And now they're each grabbing onto the shtar. If Reuven owns it, so then he could use this shtar to collect. If Shimon owns it, it means it's been paid off. And that's why he has the possession of the shtar. And each of them is claiming that the shtar is theirs. Malva Omer Reuven, who lent the money, says, Omer Shalihu, this is my shtar. V'nafal mineni, it fell for me. Umitzosiv. And this guy found it. And now he's trying to take it from me. So we both are grabbed onto it. I saw it and he saw it at the same time. So therefore, that's why we're both holding onto it. But it's my shtar. I never got paid for it. And I want to collect with it. V'lov Omer and Shimon, the one who borrowed the money, says, yeah, I did borrow the money. Omer Shalchahu Uprativ Lucha. Yes, this shtar was once yours, but when I paid you back, it became mine. And now you're trying to grab it from me and make me pay a second time. So what does the Braisa tell us? The Braisa tells us, Yiskayim ashtar b'chosmav. You have to authenticate the shtar with the signatures on the shtar. So let's say there's two witnesses, Levi and Yehuda, on the shtar. So either you bring Levi and Yehuda to say, these are our signatures, and authenticate it that way, or you bring other shtaros and say, yeah, these are the same signatures, and both were authenticated as being Levi and Yehuda. These are the same signatures. So yeah, this shtar is authenticated. You authenticate the signatories on the shtar, and then you can go and collect with the shtar, Yiskayim ashtar b'chosmav, and you give it back. Seemingly, you give it back to the Baal Chov, Reuven, the one who lent the money, and he can go collect with the shtar. That's what it seems to say, Divrei Rebbe. We'll explain this more a little bit in a second. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, no, Yachloku. There's no reason to give it back once you've authenticated it. No reason to give it back to the Baal Chov, to Reuven in my case, but they split it. In other words, let's say Reuven Shtar says that Shimon owes him $100, so they'll split it. He'll only have to pay him $50. Now, The Braisa continues and tells us, Nafal liyad dayan. If the shtar fell into the hands of a judge, lo yotzi olamis, then the judge has to hold on to it forever. He never gives it back to Reuven. He doesn't give it back to Shimon. He just holds on to it. It can't be used to collect. The Gemara will ask, what's special about a judge? Why would this be any different than a judge or a regular person? And the Gemara will explain, it's not talking really about what it sounds like, that it fell into the hands of a judge, but it fell into the hands of the Beis Din. And we'll explain this in a few moments in the Gemara. In any event, the Braisa says, Nafal liyadayin lo yotzi olamis. But that's the Tanna Kamma of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, Harei Hu Bechazkoso. Rav Yossi says, no, it's a valid shtar, and Reuven can go collect from the shtar. And we'll have to explain Rav Yossi's shita momentarily as well. So we had in this brisa, two parts of this brisa. The first part is the shtar is being held by the two people. Each one claims that it's his, and the Tanna Kamma there says, the Rebbe is the Tanna Kamma there. He says, Yishkayim a shtar, you authenticate the shtar, and then seemingly that Reuven can collect with it, whereas Shimon Gamliel says that they split it. The second part of the Braisa says that if it fell into the hands of the Dayan has to hold on to it forever. That's the Tanna Kamma of Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi Omer, Harehu Bechazkoso. No, the Shtar is able to be collected. Now, let's understand this Braisa. We'll go back through it. Amar Mar, the first part of the Braisa. Yiskayim Ashtar Bechosmov. Rebbe said, you authenticate the Shtar, you prove that Levi and Yehuda, the two signatories on the shtar, are in fact authentic signatures. And then, v'govi le'malve kule. And he said, therefore, yiskai mashtar b'chosmav, you go and collect with it. Is that what it means? How can he say that you can go and just give this back to Reuven? After all, our Mishnah said that yachloku. Why isn't the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel correct? Yachloku. Doesn't Rebbe hold from our Mishnah the last lay masnisin shnayim ovos and v'chule? Rebbe, does he disagree with our Mishnah? How come he argues with Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says yachloku? Certainly, Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to follow our Mishnah. Doesn't Rebbe hold from our Mishnah as well? So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood what Rebbe was saying. You misunderstood the whole brisa, the first part of the brisa. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav said the name of Rav Nachman. In fact, b'mikuyim, if you're dealing with the shtar that in fact has been authenticated, so then divri akol yachloku. Then Rebbe and certainly Rav Shimon Gamliel would both say that you divide it up exactly in accord with our Mishnah. No, there's a machlokas here between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Under what circumstances is that machlokas? Ki pligi, where Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel are arguing b'she'eino mikuyim, when it has not been authenticated. And the machlokas goes as follows. Rebbe savar, Rebbe says, how do we know that this is even a valid shtar? Mode b'shtar shekesavo sorich l'kaimo. Shimon is coming along and saying, yes, that did belong to you. It once was your shtar. I did borrow the money from you. And that's a valid shtar. So Shimon, the person who owes the money, is essentially authenticating the shtar. Nevertheless, if you want to go and collect with this, sorich l'kaimo, you have to go and still have it independently verified as being a good shtar. And therefore, the mekayim le poli. And if in fact he is able to go and authenticate the shtar, so then they split it because shtayim ochazin. But the ilo mekayim le, if you're not able to independently authenticate, verify that the shtar is a good shtar, lo poli, then you don't go and divide it up. And this is basically the principle of hapesha asa hu hapesha hiter. Yes, this Shimon, this person who owes the money, is authenticating the shtar. But he is also saying it's not a good shtar anymore. It's been paid up. So therefore, he's the Pesha Asar. He's the one saying, yes, I owe the money, but he's also the Pesha Hiter. He's the one that's saying, but I have paid it up. And therefore, it no longer is a valid shtar. So therefore, unless Reuven can go and separately, independently authenticate the shtar, Rabbi holds he can't go collect from it. Lo poly, you don't split it. My timer, what's the reasoning? Because chas b'yalamuhu, according to Shimon, this is a plain piece of paper at this point in time. Man komashri le lahai shtar lova, who is making this shtar into a valid document? It's the lova, the one who borrowed the money, Shimon. However, hakama defria, he's saying that it has been paid back. So therefore, hapesha asa hu hapesha hita, he's the one that's saying it's a valid document, but he's saying it's a paid up valid document. So therefore, unless you can independently verify it, Rebbe says, we don't allow it to be collected with. Now, why does Rav Shimon Gamliel disagree with that? Rav Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees. Savar, he holds. Mode bishtar shiksava. Once you're mode that this shtar is a good shtar, that's it. It's now a valid shtar. It doesn't need to be independently authenticated. Ain't zoch l'kaimo. Now, therefore, the avogad de lo mekayim lay, even though it is not, therefore, authenticated, but nevertheless, it has been accepted by Shimon by the Lova, and therefore Yachloku. It has to go and be split because he said it's a good shtar. All right, now you're making another claim that it in fact has been paid back. Well, that's Yachloku. He says it's not paid back. You say it is paid back. There's no argument over here about the authenticity of the shtar. So therefore, both of you are holding on to it, so Yachloku. So that's the Machloku between Rebbe and Rishon Gamliel as we now understand it. Okay, now we have the second part of the Braisa. It said, Nafal liyad dayin. If it fell, the shtar, into the hands of a judge, lo yotzi olamis. The Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi said, you never ever give it back, it can't be collected with. And we turn to Zayin and Beis, and we ask the obvious question, maishno liyad dayin, maishno liyad acher. What difference does it make, as Rashi says, mishacher? What difference does it make if it fell into the hands of a judge or it fell into the hands of anybody else? How does it make any difference if it falls at the hands of a judge that it shouldn't be able to be given back, implying that if it falls at the hands of somebody else, it can be given back? So obviously that can't be what it means. So I'm a Rav. Rav says, you're right, 100%. Hachikamar. This is what the second part of this braisa means. The acher, another person found it. Rashi says, she'eno lo lova v'lo malva. A third person found this. He's neither the one who lent the money nor the one who borrowed the money. She'matzo shtar she'nofo liyad dayan. And this person found this that had previously been in the hands of the dayan. What does that mean? The echidami, the kosa behenpek, that it had been authenticated, that this shtar had been authenticated, so lo yotzi olamis. So then he is never allowed to go and give it back to either of the two people, either the malva or the lova. And the chiddush here is as follows. And certainly, if it hadn't been authenticated, if it hadn't been authenticated as being a valid shtar, so then it may have been written up, but the lova wrote it up so it would be ready so he could get the money from Reuven, so he'd have the shtar already, so Reuven would be willing to give him the money. But then he decided, you know what, I don't need the cash. I got cash from someplace else. I don't need to borrow the money. So he actually wrote up the IOU document, but he never got the money. And then he lost that shtar. So if it hasn't been authenticated by the Beis Din, so then how do you even know that the debt actually was ever taken? That maybe Shimon never borrowed the money. So you don't have to tell me, below me, boy, low cost of a handbag. You certainly don't have to tell me, in a case where it wasn't authenticated, that you don't give it to the Malva, you don't give it to the Lova, because maybe the loan never took place. But even El Afilu, Kosa behempek de mekuyim, even if there is a Beis Din's authentication that's attached to this shtar. So the Beis Din says, yes, on such and such a day, we authenticated this shtar, that in fact, Reuven did lend Shimon $100, and Levi and Yehuda were the valid witnesses. So it's authenticated, even if this acher, this person who's not the malva, not the lova, finds this shtar, lo yachzer. The Tanakama of Yossi says, you don't return it. Because the chayshinon lepeiron, we have to be concerned that maybe it had been paid back. In fact, Shimon had paid back the money and was given the shtar, and then he lost it before he ripped it up. And therefore, you have to be concerned about that. And this acher who finds it, he doesn't give it back to either one of them. That's the Tanakama of Yossi. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, Harei Hu Bechetz Kosu. He says, no, if it's authenticated, we assume it's still an authenticated shtar, and you return it back to the Malva, and he collects with it. V'lo chai shinon lipeiron. And we don't have to be concerned that it, in fact, has been paid back. Now, why isn't Rav Yossi concerned about Piron? After all, elsewhere he is concerned about Piron, that it was paid back. But Tanya, we learned in a second braisa, Motzo Shtar Ksuba Bashuk, if a person finds a Ksuba in the marketplace. So it was obviously lost. Bizman Shaba Mode, if the husband says, yeah, that's my wife's Ksuba, I never paid it back, we're still married. So Yachzil Isha, then you do give back the Ksuba to the woman, and then she'll be able to collect from it if she ever becomes divorced or widowed. Ain't about Moda, but the husband says, no, I divorced my wife. That's her ksuba, but I paid it already. And therefore, I should be able to keep this ksuba, and she can't collect from it a second time. So what happens in this situation? Lo yachzir, lo lozeh, v'lo lozeh. The Tanakama of Rav Yossi in this braisa, the Chacham of Rav Yossi in this braisa say, you don't return it, because the husband is saying, no, I paid it. So again, it's a shtar that we're concerned that it's already been paid. And along comes Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi Omer, Oda Tachas Bala, if she's still married to her husband, so then Yachzir Lisha, then it's clear you give it back to the woman. However, if she is divorced, Nisarmila O Niskarsha, or she's a widow, Nisarmila, she's a widow, O Niskarsha, she's divorced, then Lo Yachzir, Lo Lozev, Lo Lozev, then you don't give it back to either side. If she's divorced, let's say, not keep it a simpler case. So you don't give it back to her ex-husband, and you don't give it to her. She can't collect with it because maybe it's already been paid back. We don't know that it hasn't been paid back. So clearly, Rav Yossi says over here, we are concerned about Piron, but the way we just understood over here, he says, you do return the IOU to the Mahal there, so lo chayshin el pirot. So we have a stira in Rav Yossi. In the first brisa that we brought down, Rav Yossi says, lo chayshin el pirot. And in the case of the ksuba, the second brisa that we brought down, Rav Yossi says, we are concerned about pirot. Seems to be a stira in Rav Yossi. So one says, yeah, right, flip it around. Eifel, in the first brisa, don't read it the way we had it, that the Tanakama said, lo yotzi olomis, and Rav Yossi was the one that said, harehu b'cheska. So flip it around. Nofal liyad dayon, lo yotzi olomis, the Rav Yossi. The Rav Yossi was the Tanakama. And the opinion that we had previously attributed to Rav Yossi, that's in fact the Chachamim. The Chachamim rim, harehu b'cheska. So therefore, Rav Yossi is consistent. Rav Yossi in each case says that we are concerned about Piron. In the case of Ksuba, he said we're concerned about Piron. And in this first brisa, where they found the IOU, he's concerned about Piron. So lo yotzi olomis. Ah, Rav Yossi, we've aligned. Aye, what about the Chacham? Ihachi, Kasha, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. In the first brisa, so the opinion that we now are saying is Rav Yossi's opinion, previously the Chacham's opinion, so now Rav Yossi is saying that, in fact, it is lo yotzi olamis, and the chachamim are the ones that say harehu b'cheskaso, so then you can return it. So in the brisa that we just wrote down with the ksuba, the chachamim say lo yachzir, lo lezeh v'lezeh. But in the case of the first brisa, we're now saying the chachamim say harehu b'cheskaso, that you do return it. So now kasha the rabbanon and the rabbanon. You solved the problem with Yossi, but you created a problem with the rabbanon. So Gemara says, no, we have to understand the second brisa a little bit better. Shtar ksuba, in the case of the ksuba, there weren't two opinions there. It sounded like there was a machlokis, but there wasn't a machlokis. Kula Rav Yosihi. The entire brisa was Rav Yosi's opinion. The chisur emechsav achitani, and there were parts missing, and these are the parts that are missing, the way you should read the brisa. The brisa tells us, ein habal modeh, if the husband doesn't admit that the ksuba has not been paid, so then in that situation, lo yachzir, lo lezev, lo lezev, because he argues that it's been paid. So the wife says it hasn't been paid, so we don't know what to do, so you don't return it. Lo yachzir, lo lezev, lo lezev. But what are the circumstances? Bamedvar mamurim, that's shenis armila o shenis garsha. That's when she has been widowed or she has been divorced. In this situation, she's claiming, I haven't been paid. And either the husband, if he's still alive because he divorced, or if the husband passed away, his estate, his children, the yarship, they say, no, it's been paid. So therefore, you can't give it back. However, aval oda tachas bala, but if she's still happily married to him, so then, yachzir l'isha, then we do give it back to the woman. Because she Rav Yossi Omer, because, and now we see this is all Rav Yossi's opinion. Oda tachas bala, yachzir l'isha. He says, we're not concerned about Piron in this situation because she's still living with her husband. So of course he hasn't paid her. Why would he pay her the ksuba if they're still living together? Nisarmelo niskasha, but if she's been nebuch widowed or divorced, then lo yachzir, then you can't give it back because maybe it's been paid back. We are concerned, lo lezeh, lo lezeh. You can't give it back to the husband because then he'll rip it up and he won't have to pay it. You can't give it back to the wife because then she would be collecting potentially a second time. So therefore, there is no chachamim over here. There is no Tanakama or Rav Yossi. The second brisa is all Rav Yossi. That's the first teretz over here, how to reconcile the two brises that we had to do. Apo, we flipped it around. Rav Papa doesn't like that. Rav Papa Amar Liolam Lo Tefa. No, you don't have to flip it around. Leave all the shittas the way we had them. And in the second brisa, the ksuba, Rav Yossi, Lidivreyem Dirabonim Kamaluhu. Rav Yossi wasn't giving his own opinion. He was saying, according to you, chachamim, admitted them right. Because, Lididi, according to me, Afilu Nisarmelo Niskarsha, even if she has in fact been widowed or divorced, so when we find this document, Lo Chayshina, Nami Lo Chayshina Lepiron, we're not concerned that it's been paid back. The ksuba has never been collected, and we give it to the wife. We're not concerned. Lo Chayshina Lepiron. But that's my opinion. But even according to you, Lididchu, that you are concerned that maybe it's been paid back, so then at least admit to me, Oduli Mias Ba'oda Tachas Bala, at least admit in the situation where she's still living happily with her husband, that there's no way that he paid her the ksuba if they're living together happily. And therefore, the yachzilisha, you should be able to return the ksuba to the woman. The lav bas pironi, because when would she have gotten her ksuba if they're living together happily married? No happily married wife has collected her ksuba, so obviously if they're still living together happily married, so then you return the ksuba to her. At least admit to me that, Rav Yossi says to the Chachamim. Aye, the Amru Le Rabbanan, and the Chachamim come along and say, no. sometimes, rarely, a woman might collect a ksuba while she's married. Emer tsrare atpisa, that maybe she had been given monies, and her husband said, here, you can have these monies. This will be going towards the payment back of your ksuba, in case I divorce you. Here's some more money. This will be going towards the payment back of your ksuba. This is called tsrare. This is like little bundles, little pieces that he's giving her constantly. So the chachamim say, no, we are choshesh for that. And therefore, if you find this ksuba, you have to be concerned that the woman has already collected it, even though they're living together happily married, and you can't go give it back to the woman, because maybe the husband has already paid off this with the tsrari, with the little bundles that he's given her throughout their marriage. Okay. Now, before, we had reconciled with Rav Yossi according to the Epoch, and then we said that you have a problem with the Chachamim, and we had to reconcile the Chachamim's opinion. Now we have another teretz for that. Ravin Omar, Leolam Epoch Kamaisa. Instead of switching around the second Brisa, switch around the attributions in the first Brisa. And now we would hold that it is the Chachamim that are not concerned about Piron. But then why is it not a stira to the Chachamim in the second Brisa who do say that it is a concern about Piron? The time of the Rabbanon Hocha. The Rabbanon in the second Brisa hold the following. In the case of the Ksuba, Mishum Dechayshin and Lishnei Ksubos, the Chachamim say in that situation, we are concerned that there are two Ksubas over here, and therefore this woman is collecting a second time. No, then why is Rav Yossi concerned about that? Rav Yossi, Lishnei Ksubos Lo Chayi. She says that's an unusual situation, and we're not concerned about her having two Ksubos. So that's another way to reconcile the differences. If you say Epo, switch around the Shitas to reconcile Rav Yossi with Rav Yossi, but then you have the problem with the Chachamim. So here's another way to explain why the Chachamim's opinion in the first Brisa and the second Brisa aren't contradictory. Okay. Gemara goes back now to further understand the statement from Rav Shimon Gamliel, who said that when the Beis Din hadn't authenticated it, but the Love, the person who borrowed the money, Shimon in my case, admitted that it was a valid shtar, so Rav Shimon Gamliel had said, in that situation, Yachloku, even though it was claimed by the person who authenticated it, Shimon, the Love, that he had paid it back. So Amar Bi Elazar, Elazar says, Machlokes, this chaluka, it doesn't over here mean the machlokes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi. It means this chaluka that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that you do, b'shishneim adukim batofes. And here this is an or, this above is an or, ushneim batorf, or they're both holding on to the torf. Rashi explains, Diva Masa ushneim adukim batorf. He says, Klomer, oh, shneim adukim b'torif. What are the torif and the tofes? So the torif is a gilui shel shtar. That's the critical part of the shtar. Makom halove v'hamalva, where the love and the malva actually live and where the loan occurred. V'amos, how much money? V'azman, and the date. Tofes is shar kol loshen shtar. The tofes is the templated part of the shtar. So whether they're both holding on to the toref or whether they're both holding on to the toref, in that situation you have yachloku because they each are holding on to exactly half of the shtar. Aval echod oduk betofes. But if one is holding on to the tofes and the other one, the echod oduk betoref, the other one's holding on to the toref, so then those are different evaluations. Zenotel tofes, the zenotel toref. Then each of them gets the part that they're holding on to, as we had explained, and the rest is going to be split. The Rav Yochanan Omar, Leolam Chokin. Rav Yochanan disagrees, and Rav Yochanan says, no, even when they're holding on differently, one to the tofes and one to the toref, yachloku, Leolam Chokin. But now there's more questions. Vafilu echad aduk batofes v'echad aduk betoref? How can you possibly say that Rav Yochanan says that even in this situation we divide everything up evenly? Vatanya, but we learned that we had brought down in the Brisa zen notel admokum shiodamagaz v'zen notel admokum shiodamagaz. So then each of them should then have acquired differently the tofes one and the toref one. So how do we say yachloku according to Rav Yochanan? Where it says lo tzricha, he's talking here to koi toref bei mitzui, similar to what we had before about that gold thread that was running through the garment. So to hear the toref is running through the middle of the document, and it's not being held by one side versus the other side. The koi toref bei mitzui. Where it says if that's the case, yachi ma'al member. So then obviously it's going to be divided up evenly. So what's Rav Yochanan telling us then? What's the chiddush? Someone says, no, we need it as well. Lo tzricha, because the mekarv ligabi dechai. Again, it is closer. It's like it's on the 40-yard line, and it's therefore more closer to one side than to the other side. So I would have said, ma'u detemah amale plog hachi. One would say, divide it right down the middle. Cut it on the 50-yard line, and therefore I get all of the toref, and you get only the tofes. And the nafkamina between whether you get the toref or the tofes is that the tofes doesn't have the date and time in it. And therefore, the Torah does. And the Torah would allow you to go collect from Mishubadi. It would allow you to go collect from lien property, whereas the Tofus would not. So that's the Nafkamina, whether you got one versus the other. So therefore, I might have said divided along the 50-yard line, and therefore the Torah would go totally to one person, and the Achloka would not be that way. So therefore, the Chiddush of Rav Yochanan is no. In this situation, Kamash Malon, the Amale, my chaz is the Pal Gishachi. Why are we dividing on the 50-yard line? No, divided from goalpost to goalpost, Pelog Hachi, and therefore it's split right down the middle, so each of us gets half of the Tofus and half of the Torah, and therefore the Yachloku is exactly as Rav Yochanan said, you divide everything evenly. Okay, now the Gemara says further, Amalei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina, Rav Acha, who comes from the city of Difti, said to Ravina, Le Rabbi Elazar, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who had said, Yomar zeh no tel tofes, we just said the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, was Rabbi Yochanan says, Lolim Chokin, but Rabbi Elazar said, no, the one who's holding on to the Avol echot oduk betofes ve'echot oduk betorev, so zeh no tel tofes, ve'zeh no tel torev, and they each do get only the part that they're holding on to, and only the rest is yachloku. So then, if you're dividing it up in this way, so then the document is not worth anything. So when we're saying you give it back to each of them, how does that benefit them? He's using this as a bottle stopper. He's using this as a bottle cap. He's going to use this piece of paper from the document to go plug up his container. That doesn't make any sense. So what exactly is what Rav Elazar is saying when he says this one takes the Torah and this one takes the Tofus? So Amalei, so Ravina says back to Rav Acha, Lidmei, it's not talking here about that you physically divide up the piece of paper. It's talking about the value of it. So you divide up the value of the document in this situation. The Amar Hachi, that he says in the following, the Shtara, the Isbeizman, so a shtar that has this zman on it, kama shave, how much is it worth? Udales bezman, kama shave. As I pointed out a minute ago, the difference between having the toref or the tofes is, if you have the toref, that means you could collect on lien properties. If you only have the tofes, then you can't collect from lien properties. So the one who has the toref, the one who has the tofes, so they're entitled to different things, but we divide up the value of the document, the value that it would have if you could collect from a lien property versus the value that you would have if you can't collect from a lien property. And that's what Rav Elazar is telling us. Bishtara, the is bezman gavi mishubade, and therefore the idach lo gavi mishubade, but the other one doesn't go collect from lien properties. So therefore, yoiv lehech de beni beni. So when we split up the difference, so the difference is between what it's worth to be able to collect from lien properties. So the shtar is worth $100, but if you can collect from lien properties, so it has more value. So if you'd sell this on the open market, so for a document that you collect $100, you'd buy it for $80. If you can collect from lien properties, you buy it for $90. So therefore, that's the difference in the values between that this one gets the Torah, this one gets the Tofus, and then they split the rest. So it's the valuation of the rest that's split, and the difference will be the Torah for the Tofus is collecting from lien properties and not collecting from lien properties. V'yachloku nami damorin. And when we said yachloku, Shimon Leil said that we divide it up, so also it meant lidmei, that we divide it up for the value. Because if you're talking about splitting a garment in half, so it's going to ruin the garment. Dilote mahachi, because you don't mean that it splits the value of it, so then shnayim ochzim metalis, hochanami depolge, ha Asaduha. You're going to rip this garment in half, so that doesn't accomplish anything. By saying, okay, now you have half and you have half. So you have one pants leg and you have the other pants leg. That's not worth anything. So obviously it means you split it. You sell it and you split the value between them. Where it says, Lav Dafka, that's not necessarily a raya, because Halo Kasha, we turn to Chesam and Aleph. That doesn't necessarily prove it with a garment. Let's say it's talking about just a cloak. It's talking about something that you could literally cut in half, and then the chazi liktanim, it could be used for young children. So therefore, if it's still usable, so therefore it is valuable, even if you would physically cut it. Nadig Mora says, V'adu amar Rava, that which Rava said, Im haisu talis muzheves, if there was this gold strip in it, chokim, we divide it up. So also, hochanami, depolgelei, are you going to split it up? Ha'ef sedua, you're going to ruin the garment. If you cut through this gold strip, and each of them gets a piece of gold, and the other one gets a piece of gold, but the garment is ruined. It's worth much, much less, ripped up this way. Again, the Mora says, that's not a kasha. Halo kasha, dechaz lebein belochav. Again, we're dealing over here with giving this to princes, as Rashi says, Lebonim Kitanim. So you divide this garment up. Again, it was a cloak that could literally be cut in half. And this way, instead of it being a garment for an older king, so it will be for a younger prince. And therefore, you can't bring a sarai from this. You don't literally call it the means dutmei. However, we can now bring a final rai that definitely means for the money from the following. We learned in our Mishnah that if the two people are on an animal, or one is leading the animal and one is riding on the animal, Hachanami de Pogila, We're saying there that you split it. Now, obviously, if you cut this animal in half, it's going to be worth nothing. I've said, do it. You've lost it. You're going to tell me it's a kosher animal and you shecht it. Bishlam et tahora, chazi labas. Okay, so then you could shecht it and cut it in half and then split it. So maybe that's talking about with a kosher animal. But how are you going to possibly answer this el tmei? You have a horse. So if you cut the horse in half, if sedua, you've lost a tremendous amount of money. Even if you sell the limited novella there for whatever it's worth, you've lost a tremendous amount of money. So obviously, in that situation, it meant elulugmei, that you don't cut the horse in half. It means that you split the value of the horse between the two people. So too, in our case, Rav Shimon Gamliel's ruling about the document, hochanami lidmei, it means you split the value of the document and not that you literally cut the document in half. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.